thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're turning to Proverbs chapter 4. We're working our way through this amazing book, and I hope that you're finding it more and more amazing. As you read this chapter, I want you to see a connection between listening and living. Between listening and living, there's three distinct sections, and we'll see that as we read it this morning. So Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, now listen to this big, long quote. He's quoting from his father, David, from verse 4 all the way down to verse 9. Lay hold of my words. This is what David said to Solomon. Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. What a beautiful picture. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Listen, listen and live. That's the title for us this morning. And we can see the connection there in those different sections of this chapter. I wonder if you remember the good old days when we used to go to the airport and get on a plane. And we would get a really warm welcome at the door. And then after we'd found our seat, the flight attendant would stand up and says, "Your attention is appreciated." And off they would go on the routine safety demonstration about seatbelts, oxygen, and the escape doors, which may be behind you, and so on. Usually, about 50% of people are giving some level of attention. The others, well, they've heard it all before, and they've already switched off. It's irrelevant. And anyway, nothing bad is going to happen, so what's the point of listening? And even the guy that's given the talk looks bored. Does that sound familiar? There's a few other places we can think of where this may well happen, but let's move along swiftly. As we continue in the book of Proverbs, if we're paying attention, it dawns upon us that we need to ask ourselves some serious questions about our level of listening. The content of the book demands that we do this. Are we paying attention? Are we really listening? Are you sitting straight up, arms folded this morning? Are we taking the word of God seriously? I say that because what we have here in chapter 4 is more of the same as in the previous chapters. The themes are familiar now. We'd almost think that we'd read these verses last week and the week before and the week before that. They're so familiar in content and in their aim. I wonder if you noticed that. I've noticed that. And that gets me thinking, and I hope it gets us thinking, well, why? Why did the Holy Spirit inspire this book and put it together in such a way? Why the repetition? Why the reoccurring themes? Why the same warnings chapter after chapter? Why the repeated call to get wisdom? Why the urgency and seriousness of it all? Why the constant call to listen up and pay attention? Why? Well, because life and death are in the balance. This is not a frivolous little thing. It's a serious, weighty matter. How we live, where we're going, how we're getting there. These things are not trivial issues. For me, as I read Proverbs and I look at it and I study it, it's almost as if God spoke in chapter 1. And what we have in every chapter that follows is the reoccurring echo of what he said in the first chapter. Except his voice doesn't fade away like a natural echo. It gets stronger and louder and clearer and more urgent. The fact that the same themes are repeated and developed should make us sit up and take notice. But sadly, the fact is that many don't listen. And even some Christians develop itchy ear syndrome. As Paul says, that in the last days, there will be some who will not put up with sound doctrine. They will not put up with what the Bible teaches, but they will gather together for themselves teachers that will hear exactly what their itching ears want to hear. We don't really need to hear what we want to hear. We need to hear what God has to say, whatever it may be. And so if we're not listening, we will get to this stage where the unthinkable happens and there's no way of knowing what to do. Verse 19, they don't know what makes them stumble. Why? Because they've not been listening, not been going God's way. If God says something once, that should be enough for us to sit up and take notice, shouldn't it? Just once. But when he gives us a whole book of the Bible with 31 chapters on wisdom and walking in his ways, then we really should be paying attention. Proverbs is the voice of God. And if we truly listen, we will truly live. You know, we believe this. We believe that God knows us better than we know ourselves. We know that. And he knows that we have a short attention span, a short memory, and we're easily distracted. Sounds like every one of my school report cards. So God knows how we are made. He knows how easily we are distracted and so easily led off the path. So God constantly calls us to listen and then so to live. So, chapter 4, three distinct parts. Each part begins with listen up. So we'll look at chapter 4 under three headings, verses 1 to 9. Point 1, listen and live. Verses 10 to 19, point 2, listen and live. Verses 20 to 27, point 3, listen and live. Do you get the point? Now, I have to say that I do reserve the right to give a loving, kindly, pastoral slap to anyone who says to me, I remember point 1 of your sermon, but what was point 2 and point 3 again? So point 1. Listen and live. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Goats don't hear. Goats don't hear the voice of the shepherd. They're not sheep. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they'll follow me. They can detect my voice. They can hear it. They can, throughout all the cacophony of racket and noise and all the rest of it in this world, we can hear the voice of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In John 5, 24 and 25, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words, and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. How did that happen? It happened as we heard, as we received, as we agreed with the word of God, as he spoke it into our life. Verse 25, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Who was Jesus talking about there? Was it Lazarus? Was it the widow of Cain's son? Was it these people who have physically died? Well, they certainly heard the voice of God, that's for sure. But Jesus had in mind, I do believe in this, in these verses, those who are spiritually dead, spiritually disconnected, spiritually not able to hear or see, blind, wretched, not hearing, not listening, not able to tune into the voice of God. And yet, the very thing that causes us to hear is the voice of God. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Notice the theme kind of changes here from chapter 3. In chapter 3, Solomon is speaking all about the law of God, the word of God, and hear the word. Now he's saying, hey, listen to my words. In fact, he said, my father said, listen to my words. And I'm saying to you, son, listen to my words. Is he saying something different to chapter 3? No, he's not saying something different to chapter 3. He's saying something the very same. My words is God's words. All he is doing is repeating, re-echoing what he has heard from his father, and his father heard those words from the very voice of God, from the word of God itself. Lay hold of my words. Do you remember, oftentimes, the Apostle Paul would say, he would refer to the gospel as my gospel. I preach my gospel. This is the truth of my gospel. Is he saying something different to Jesus' gospel? Is there a Paul's gospel and a Jesus' gospel? No, there's not. There's only one gospel. But Paul says it's my gospel. He owned the gospel because the gospel owned him. And he referred to it in such intimate ways that this is my gospel. It has me. It owns me. And I own it. I have my Lord and he has me. So what we see here in the first 9 verses of chapter 4 is that we see a kind of generational echo. God has said it. David heard it. David received it. He believed it. David lived it. And he passed it on to his son. Those of you who are in Christian families with generational Christians, you should count yourself blessed. Is your dad a Christian? Is your granddad a Christian? Be blessed. Think about that. Thank God for it. But the point of this is that God doesn't have any grandchildren. God doesn't have grandchildren. We don't get to be a child of God through inheriting it because we were brought up in a Christian family. God doesn't have grandchildren, only first generation children. All born of the Spirit of the Father. There's no greater joy for the Christian than to see their children and their children's children following the Lord. Let the word re-echo from our lives to the next generation. Listen and live and pass it on. Point 2. Listen and live. Light and darkness. This is verses 10 to 19. Light and darkness are themes that run right throughout the Bible from beginning to end and beyond the end and way on into eternity. Light and darkness. If we're wise in God, there's only one way to live. If we're foolish, there's only one way to live. So the options for us are dark and getting darker, or bright and getting brighter. And the path that we're on is set by the level of our listening and who we're listening to. Genesis 3, and the stark contrast between the voice of God and the voice of the serpent shows us clearly that who we listen to, oh, it's so important, vitally important, a matter of life and death. Listen, my son. Again, the same starting point in this section as it was in verse 1. Again, listen up, my son. Accept, receive what I say. You know, there's different levels of listening, isn't there? We can listen to someone, but not hear them. I'm listening to you, but I'm not hearing you. I'm not receiving what you're saying. And it's interesting, isn't it, that husbands and wives have this thing of, you know, it's guys would often say, you know, it's funny how my wife, she always starts an argument by saying, you haven't been listening to a word I've been saying. Yes, different levels of listening, accepting, tuning in, being interested in what is being said. And again, there's a link between listening and life. Verse 1, listen, my son. Verse 13, hold on to instruction. Don't let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Two ways to go. Dark and getting darker, bright and getting brighter. Verse 14 says, don't set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. And then it says in verse 19, it's deep darkness and they don't know what makes them stumble. Here's the thing with the way of darkness. It doesn't seem dark at the start. If it was deep darkness at the very beginning, well, who would go there? But Solomon says, don't go there. It might look pretty good. It might look, you know, interesting and helpful even, and might see a bit of light there. But it's the way of darkness. Don't set your foot on that path because it leads to deep, deep darkness. Jesus spoke about the narrow way and the broad way. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Notice the contrast between life in verse 14 and destruction in verse 13. Now, there is a paradox in living God's way, apparent contradictions to following Jesus. We die to live, we lose to gain. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And what we have here are insights into the ways of God, the narrow path, as Jesus spoke of, and the way of the world, which is as broad as you like. Anything goes, no holds barred. Do what you please. The road is as broad as you like. These Christians are so narrow they can see through a keyhole with both eyes. But here's the paradox, and we see it in Proverbs. The narrow path gets infinitely broader, wider, fuller, brighter, better. Whereas the broad road, the wide gate, gets narrower, tighter, more and more limiting. And the options become fewer and harder to find. Verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn shining ever brighter to the full light of day. Sat here this morning in the dark and watched the sunrise. Wasn't that great this morning, I have to say, but nevertheless, great to see the sun rising. It was wonderful just to see the dawn of a new day. It's great to be alive. And then we don't really get to see the sunset where we live, but maybe you do. And it just gets gradually darker as the sun disappears over the horizon. The path of the righteous. First gleam. Oh, when I saw the light. When I came to Jesus, that moment, that first gleam of dawn, awesome. The love of God. the life of God, the light of God flooding our hearts. Has the road been easy from then till now? No. Is it shining ever brighter to the full light of day? Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. Oh, there are difficulties, trials, pain, all the rest of it. But I'd rather go with God through all of that than go the broad way without him and still have to face all the pain, all the heartache, all the other stuff without God. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They haven't got a clue what makes them stumble. They keep on stumbling. Could you imagine stubbing your toe on the corner of your bedpost night after night after night and not knowing and wondering what on earth is going on? It would drive you demented. Well, here the word of God says, they keep on stumbling and they keep on doing the same things and they keep on asking why things don't work out for me. Why are things not turning around? Why are things not going the way that I would want my life to go? They don't know what makes them stumble. They're not listening, and so therefore the life of God is not coming. That's what we see right here in Proverbs. As a young man, I saw members of my family becoming Christians. No Christians in our family until one day my uncle came to Jesus. And as a young man, being challenged by the real life-changing conversion of family members, I was almost persuaded, almost, until the devil played his trump card, and I fell for it. In contrast to the life I was on the verge of living as a young adult with the wide open possibilities that were before me for all the stupid things that I wanted to do that I hadn't had the money or the time or the age to be able to access. Now it was all opening up. And the way of God seemed, even though it was so attractive, it seemed to me to be so restrictive, so unbearably narrow and limiting. How right and how wrong can you be at the same time? Yes, narrow. It's God's way. It's the narrow gate. It's the narrow way. But haven't we found that God's narrow way is so much wider than the world's wide path? And yes, the way of the world is wide. Anything goes. But it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. The returns on drinking, on the drug take, all of the stuff. You need more of it to get the same hit, the same high, the same enjoyment. You need to plow more money, more time, more effort, and ever decreasing returns. It's narrower. It's shallower as you go. You know, you get many happy young sinners, but I tell you, there's not very many happy old sinners, not really, as they reflect on life. The road gets narrower and narrower and narrower until there's nowhere to go, nothing to do, nowhere to turn, nowhere to look, except, of course, up. And the grace of God, there's the upward look. For the foolish, praise God. Oh, yes, there is the upward look. Look and live. Listen and live. Third and final point this morning. Listen and live. Verse 20, My son, pay attention. Pay attention. Listen closely, closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life. Listen and live. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. In Scripture, our heart is seen as the core of our being, the command and control center of life, so to speak. And we are to store up the Word of God in our hearts. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly, abundantly. Soak your heart in the Word of God as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. See the connection between letting the Word of Christ dwell richly, abundantly, and wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. We are to guard our hearts. When we guard our hearts, we guard our lives. For our hearts can take us to places, places of heartache, places of destruction, places of pain. Don't follow your heart. Don't do it. Guard your heart. Have your heart filled and shaped and transformed by the Word of God and by the ways of God. God has given us the gift of eternal life. And he's also given us the gift of internal life, life within. We see with our hearts, Paul says, Ephesians 1:17 and 18. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. As I see it, we have three possibilities: insight, hindsight, and foresight. Insight, hindsight, and foresight. They say that hindsight is always 2020. 2020. 2020 is also the term used for perfect eyesight. And of course, hindsight is to look back, to become wise after the event. So the phrase, hindsight is always 2020, is to look back on a situation, on an event, and see it clearly. We can see a mile off how it came about. We're amazed that we didn't see it coming, whether good or bad. That's hindsight. Now, can you imagine being able to have that quality and clarity of vision in life, but looking forward and in the present? So it's as if you're looking back, but you're actually looking forward and you're in the present and you have insight, foresight, which is even clearer than the hindsight that we so often use and think, oh dear, what did I do that for? What would you give to get the clarity of hindsight, but as foresight and insight? What would you be willing to pay for that kind of clarity in your life? What lengths would you go to avoid the pitfalls and dead ends and all the pain and heartbreak that goes with that? To have the wisdom of God is to have insight and foresight. How desperate are we to get it? Let me conclude this morning. The call of God in Proverbs is to listen and so live in God's wisdom. The call is consistent. It's relentless. It's persistent. Question for us is it persuasive? Are we being persuaded as we study this book, as we delve and dive into this book, as we hear the voice of God in and through the book of Proverbs? Yes, it may be constant, relentless, and persistent, but am I really being persuaded? Or merely almost persuaded? Our life choices will make it plain if we are persuaded, fully persuaded, or almost persuaded. Are we really grasping the supreme value of wisdom and the urgency of the call to get it at all costs? Nothing compares with wisdom, Solomon says. The problem with us and the problem with us all is that we take so long to be convinced. And sadly, at times, we have to learn the hard way. But even in our pain and in our shame, there is the upward look. And as we learn to listen, we will live. May God give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, a hunger for his presence, a hunger for him, that we may walk in his ways. Amen. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.